Time now for the Yahoo Sports College Podcast with Dan Wetzel.
Charlie Weiss was trending on Twitter, which just is a riot because I'm like, if, I don't know if Charlie Weiss is on Twitter, but you just kind of log on and out of the blue, you're trending. Like, what did I do?
Yeah. Pete Thamel.
That's one of the best lines in our pod's rich history. The it Wombat is a good listener.
Look, they make a lot of noise.
And SI's Pat 40.
This is like 80s basketball. Vegas, Houston, college basketball.
And here's Dan.
All right, welcome to the pod. As we tape this one, it is opening day in Major League Baseball. Not a big baseball fan, but I consider this a victory. Might be closing day in like three. We don't know. Could make it all 60. But hey, this has come a long way. And I know we've had other sports start, but this is the most tangible one. And I think this will be somewhat of a trial run for college football. Not perfect, but this isn't the NBA spending, nearly $200 million to create a bubble to control all of their athletes who are on a relatively small roster. This is going to be people out in the community trying to compete in sports. It's not, again, not a perfect comparison at all, but I do think we can get some kind of hope if over the next month, baseball is able to operate without, if they can make it with minimal bumps. That to me is a sign that maybe football can. Certainly would be a positive. If this thing is a meltdown and doesn't work, not so good. So I think that even though Major League Baseball and college football don't have a lot in common, I think this is at least something to keep an eye on and certainly root for the success. It's far more apples to apples than what the NBA is doing, which is obviously not what we're trying. What do you guys think? Are you baseball fans today?
I'm a Red Sox fan, I would say. So I follow the Red Sox. I like the Red Sox. I will watch the Red Sox. I believe they open Friday. I could be wrong about that. I'm not that big of a fan, I guess. But so that is my sole prism with which I study baseball. This is what I'm curious about baseball. So if you are Johnny State U coach, you can get up in front of your team and you can say, you got to do it for your brothers. You have to stay in. You can't, go to people's dorms. Can't go to parties. You got to keep girls away. You got to do that. What is what are baseball managers doing? Like, what is Ron Ronicky doing in Boston or Aaron Boone in New York? Are they really giving these guys stay away from bars, booze and girls pep talks to 33-year-old men? I just don't see that happening.
Bars, booze and what is it? What were the three? Girls, bars, booze, girls. And girls. I mean, that's the American pastime, isn't it? This is why we.
You guys watch Bull Durham, right?
Why do you play baseball if that isn't coming? Because it's a boring ass game. Completely boring. You get sunburnt. It takes forever. You got to play 2,000 games a year. I don't know. What would be the point?
Is Joe Madden giving them the win one for the Gipper? Order room service talk every night?
I don't believe so.
Win one so we can play our boring game again tomorrow.
Win one without testing positive so we can play our boring game again tomorrow. I'm like Pete. I'm a Cardinals fan, and I'll pay attention to the Cardinals. They open tomorrow against the Pirates. Right now I am a big baseball fan because, A, it's a sport that's happening. B, we can flip on the TV tonight and watch it if we want. And C, yeah, I would like sports to work. And so I hope that this works. Again, it does not necessarily translate to meaning college football will work, but all successes can at least maybe lead to further successes down the line, even though college football is 19 times more complicated. Dan, as you wrote in your hierarchy of sports and what can work and not work. But for right now, man, I feel like Peter Gammons. Let's go. Let's play.
A great story by our former colleague at Yahoo, Jeff Passan over at ESPN. He listed out various things. It's questions, what's the biggest threat to the season and how does the testing work? And one of the things they came up with was Tinder. Tinder is one of the great threats to including this just epic quote from an unnamed player. Unnamed player. I honestly think horny dudes on the road are going to is what's going to bring this down.
Can you imagine how giddy Passan was when he got that quote?
Oh, like, oh, fingers were flying. I don't know why typing that in.
He's lost a little off the fastball going over ESPN because he would have led with that damn thing at Yahoo. For we would have rewritten.
Yeah, they would have led the site with that for 2 days.
All right, that would have been clearly, you know, our headline writers at Yahoo are not suggestive or you know, sensational at all. No way, no, not our headline writers. So
it's like The Economist.
Moderately interesting story to follow. No, we're going to pull quote that bad boy, probably run a poll on it and do at least some kind of social media post. Yeah. Well, we'll see. I just know that baseball is playing. It's good. We'll see. I mean, look, if this falls apart between now and, you know, I really think the decision on the season is going to come, unless there is overwhelming disaster, I think it's going to come late. I think they're going to push and push and push until the end, until you're a week or two out. And quite honestly, I don't know why you wouldn't, if as long as you're going. But so maybe we get some data in here. Obviously, we're not going to know anything after a week, but we'll have an idea of something. So something's getting played. They're also, just to do one, they're doing, I don't know if you saw this, Fox is going to put computer-generated fans or CGI fans in the stands. I don't know if you saw this, like crowd that will react to the various plays, and they're specific to each team. They're not even all sellouts, which I thought was a nice touch. I don't know. They just ran a promo. Now, they've long given us that robot, that big robot during the NFL, and we know that their college games are, you know, they throw a little sizzle in there. Thoughts on the fake fans? Do we do this? Will they do this in college football? Will they have to, like, you know, run the scale? Like, you know, you're down at, you know, a bunch of really good looking fans down in the SEC or something, maybe not so much somewhere else. I don't, like, how is this going to, are we going to, they're not going to, they can't help themselves at Fox, right? We're going to get fake fans in college football, right?
Oh, we're going to get them. We're going to get them. And it will be the stupidest thing of the week, I guess. You know, I mean, 2020 is so off the charts stupid. I would like to say it's the stupidest thing of the year, but when you think of every idiotic thing that has transpired, I guess I can't go that far. But this is so, it's like insulting to me. It's like, oh, you stupid little fans can't enjoy the game without being told what's exciting or what's making people mad or when to have emotion. This is one of the best things about sports is that it is actual real life as opposed to a scripted TV drama or sitcom with a built-in laugh track or a built-in music to manipulate the mood. And now this is what we're getting. We are getting sports as a TV show. We don't need the damn fake fans. We don't need the fake noise. We don't need to be told what's exciting or what's controversial. We can figure it out for ourselves. That's just, it just absolutely drives me nuts that this is, somebody thinks this is a good idea for to have some producer sitting in a truck say, okay, turn up the applause now, make them really go crazy now, and that's going to help the viewer at home. It is so stupid, I don't even know what else to say. I'm done.
I think eliciting that reaction out of you is alone reason to do this.
We can get some clips of Pat watching Cardinals games, cursing the fake fans. That'd be pod gold.
I'll watch without sound. I guarantee it. I absolutely guarantee it if that's going to be the case.
Old man shouts at cloud.
Yeah. Surprisingly, I don't have as strong opinions on this as Pat. I do think it's generally patronizing and a little dumb. But what I'm excited about is when America reacts diametrically different than Pat to this, and then we get fake college football fans in the fall, because let's face it, the stadium's going to be pretty empty. Which fake college football fan do you want to see the most? Do you want to see the fake surrender cobra? Do you want to see the fake sundresses at Ole Miss? Do you want to see the fake frat guys with their ties? Like, you know, fake Wisconsin fans in overalls? You know, are they going to have fake student sections? Like, there's a lot of places we can go with fake fans in our little fiefdom.
Is that how they're keeping people employed at Fox, by putting people to work, you know, making your Ole Miss specific crowd and your Alabama specific crowd and all that? I mean, is that what, you know, I guess if it's keeping people employed, great. Leave me out of it.
I was going to say, what are you, pro unemployment now? I mean, what the hell? This is not a winning position for you, Pat. This is not a winning position.
I don't care. I'm taking it and I'm keeping it.
Look, I do think that baseball and football are going to struggle as a television product without fans. Now, we'll see. We've seen some very ambitious, you know, 50% stadium capacities in Texas and things like that. We'll see what, you know, NFL is trying to get somebody in there. But the sports so far don't need fans, and they've done fine. A NASCAR race, you're not looking at the stands, you're looking at the cars. Golf, you're just swapping around really quick. Fighting, soccer, constant action. You know, obviously they play up to the fans on those European soccer leagues because it is mesmerizing. They're singing, they're waving flags, they're doing tear gas and smoke bombs and usually fighting amongst themselves and things like that. It's great. However, baseball and football are very brief spurts of action followed by 30 seconds of nothing. How many times are you going to show the manager sitting there in the dugout just staring out at the field, or the offensive coordinator holding the Waffle House menu trying to hide his face? So I think these guys know, as a television product, I mean, they're going to throw Waldo in there. They're going to throw, like, people, you know, they got to have some pranksters in there. Like, is there a guy getting trashed that you keep an eye on? I don't know. It's something. If this is what we're down to complaining about, I'll take the game.
SEC sex dolls are here. It's happening.
That's true. We got that. Remember that? The South Korean sex dolls.
Yeah. How could we forget?
Who wore masks? They wore masks. Yeah.
They
right?
were socially responsible fake fans.
Right. Yeah. Does college football need, like, its student sections to show up late? Like, you can't really, like they normally do, because they're still out. Do you really stuff
the Furman game? You just roll up late for the Furman game? Yeah.
And 70% of the fake fans in the student section are looking at their fake phones instead of at the field?
Yeah, you absolutely. You got to have good Wi-Fi. They know that. Kids want to be posting. I think anything could happen here. I think they got to be creative. I don't know.
Stupid.
I don't know if this will be
stupid.
This is where we're at now. A lot of bored
Pat's
TV
just going to listen in on the radio and protest.
I'm not going to listen. I will turn off all volume.
Good.
The fake noise wouldn't be on the radio, though.
No, probably not.
He'll be waiting for the AP wire to send him a dispatch the next day. If you know,
waiting for the sporting news to come in a week with the box score.
Who won that game?
I am sorry. You guys may be more from the TV generation or whatever, where you need to have some constant audio bombardment on you while you're watching a sporting event. I don't. I just give me the game, man. Mute button.
Oh, see?
I'm all about it.
He goes with the big brain. Yeah, sure. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. John Wilner, Mercury News, reporting the Pac-12 will set a 10-game schedule for the season. So they're going to up from 9 conference games to 10, still give them a little wiggle room to move things around if necessary. Announcement will come later this week, so we'll see. Maybe you've already heard it as you're discussing. Thoughts on Pac-12? You know, obviously they dumped the non-con, but they're trying to go pretty full boat here with 10, and then if there's a conference title game, be 11. Overly ambitious, or why the hell not? What do you think?
I think it sounds good. It looks good on paper. I'll wait and see if it's actually going to happen. I still think that there's not a good likelihood that we have, certainly that we have a 10-game season, that we have any season at this point. And starting September 19th, that was kind of a target date I'd heard tossed around. There's some people who'd like to push it back to October 1st. I think you go ahead with plans and make plans until you have to cancel plans. You know, and so why not? And I like 10 games, because there's always complaining in those conferences that play 9-game schedules that it's 5 at home and 4 on the road for some teams and the opposite for others. And so somebody's getting an unfair advantage. So fine. Go ahead and script it out. Try to make it happen. and then be ready for it to absolutely not happen. I mean, the numbers are still all going the wrong way. We got a letter from Stanford about what things are, the outlook for the semester, and it's not good. They are basically starting to brace you for, we will not have in-person classes. And, you know, when those decisions are coming, that, you know what's coming next after that as far as athletics.
Yeah, I mean, this has sort of been a predictable push hope, right? This is what we said all along. They're going to push back. I talked to a coach on Thursday morning who made a great point. He was just like, let's let the NFL go be the guinea pigs. Like, we still sitting here on July 20, whatever, don't know how a football practice will respond to somebody with COVID in it. Now, the NFL is going to test every day, so we may not know that. But, like, why don't you let them go out and make the mistakes a little bit and see what, you know, what the realities are in terms of not having a bubble, which is obviously, you know, one of the things that aligns college football with the NFL during all this. So I sense college football coaches in like two, like a quarter of them I talked to are like, let's just push ahead and go and try to do this thing and finish it. And then the other three quarters are like, let's just like tap the brakes and wait. And I, you know, my full expectation is next week when the big SEC, Big 12, ACC announcements do come, there is some type of modified schedule, maybe with a plus one, maybe with not, whatever, but also just push back in some conference, you know, more conference alignment. So I just think everyone's going to be following some reasonable facsimile of what everyone else is doing.
I tell you, I don't like the pushback at all. I'm sure you're correct, Pete, but it's like, what exactly do we think will be better? How is the scenario better on October 1 than September 1? I mean, I guess it's better than just canceling, but
I think the only thing that you possibly gain there is more time with students on campus, and then seeing what the effect is on your campus. I agree that if you're looking for changes in regional or national trends, that's not going to happen. But can you bring back 10,000, 15,000, 20,000 students and actually have a working environment? I don't think you can, but you can try, and you could have a better idea in a few weeks than, you know, if you buy a little more time.
If the players are on the campus, okay, Is the football practice really the most dangerous part of the day?
Probably not. No,
like, I don't think you can hold this for long. Like, I did a column yesterday on Yahoo ranking the likelihood of the five leagues succeeding: NHL, NBA, NHL, NFL, Major League Baseball, and college football. And, you know, I was calculating, I was talking to people, and, you know, you basically, it's like a math equation: how many athletes, how long. You know, bubble, no bubble, right? So the NHL is trying to do this in like 68 days total. And they're eliminating, like, after 8 days, like 10 or something of their teams are gone, are eliminated. So they're trying to get as small as possible, as quick as possible, and just, it's a sprint. And the NBA is a little bit of a sprint, similar. Baseball's obviously only going 60 to kind of bang up against weather. You know, and then you get to the NFL, it's like, oh yeah, Super Bowl, February 7th. Okay, good luck making that, right? Like, that's, it goes back to the driving through the snow. Like, you want to drive 3 miles, you want to drive 300, you know? So to me, it's like, you might get going early on in the semester. I think as much as I joke about the college kids, and I don't think they're going to do a lot of distancing, they're probably going to be a little more into it early. It's going to be a little more like, yeah, maybe I shouldn't do this, or maybe I'll just get food in my room. But, like, the longer it goes, the more exposure you have, you're pushing back further into the time when everyone says, well, it's going to be like a flu season, at least will spike up. Now, who knows? But that certainly makes common sense to me. Like, I would just try to get going. I'd almost move the season up. Just say, let's go. Let's try to play as many games as we can early and get this sucker over with. So I know that's a postponement is better than a cancellation, like throwing up your hands and we give up. But I don't know that there's a lot more. It's not like we're sitting there saying, hey, the vaccine's coming and, you know, we'll have a vaccine in a month, or we're going to see the effects of a lockdown. Or, I mean, we don't have a plan here. There's no plan except people screaming, wear a mask at each other, or don't wear a mask. That seems to be our plan. So I don't, that's fine. We're just dealing with it. I just don't know how it gets better.
I don't see necessarily the benefits of the pushback. I talked to an epidemiologist on Monday who basically was like, I don't like the idea of pushing to October because that's when flu season starts. So that means you're getting, you know, the heart of the, you know, alleged second wave that could be coming here. And I say alleged just because we don't know. It's a novel virus. So, but obviously very smart people are predicting it. So there's no reason to think it isn't happening. So the one thing right now from talking to a couple coaches this week is players aren't really in good shape right now. Like, now some have been back since June 1st. Some have done that. So like, you also like can't rush these guys back into shape. And in some schools, especially ones in California, are having limitations on their workouts. Like, can you gather large groups to work out? So there's the interesting part about this decision, and it's quintessentially collegiate, right? The chaos we all love. And the reason why people are listening to podcasts is college football is just this like beautiful mess, right? And this scenario in Wyoming where they barely have any virus is just exponentially different than Miami. And so all those different factors like just create all these complications. And, you know, the five P5 leaders have to make for their little things. Now, the G5 leaders, God bless them, they're just waiting for the P5 to make a decision. Like they've been pretty blunt about that. Like they're just like, you know, I'm sure they get on their Zooms and they do their thing, but they're really just sitting around waiting. And at the end of the day, this is Greg Sankey's call. Like, you can talk about president this and board of governor that and whatever it is, but ultimately everyone's going to follow the SEC. Those three leagues are aligned. Greg has the biggest stick of those three commissioners. Now, there'll be some synergy and some coercion and, you know, it'll all sound good in the press release, but ultimately what Sankey does, folks are going to end up following. And it's a fascinating, pressure-filled situation.
Next week will be a very, very big week in college football. You know what? Actually, I wanted to bring this up earlier. I forgot. Pete, are you feeling okay? Do you have any symptoms of it? Because we see Toledo coach Jason Candle has tested. He has COVID. We wish him well. But, you know, we know how tight you are with the Toledo program. And I'm wondering if you're okay. Have you social distanced from the Rockets?
I've been far from the Rockets. They are on I-90, and Boston is on I-90, but that's about as close as I've gotten on the Mass Pike recently. But that's about as close as I've gotten to them. But I thought, you know, the announcement by the school that Jason has COVID was a pretty sobering thing. You know what I mean? Like, it was kind of, he's not the first coach to get it, but is the first coach to say it publicly. And it's just a reminder of like, okay, like these are the complications. Like, people are going to, you know, coaches are going to get it. Coordinators are going to get it. Staff members are going to get it. And I still think the biggest statistical risk right now is going to be for a staff member to get seriously ill. If you look statistically at the players, and I'm certainly not wishing any of them getting COVID, and nor am I naive to think they're all just going to magically get better. We don't know a lot about a lot, but the over 60 staff members, which there are a lot of all around college football, are going to be the ones at the highest risk. And you bring students back to campus, your players are around those students, bringing it to the facility. It's the same thing for professors. Like, I've seen a lot of professors quoted in articles just saying, like, there's no bloody way I'm going in and exposing myself to that, because they're basically saying they have to rely on the behavior of the students. So we wish Jason obviously the best in getting back. And it sounds like he's fine. He's self-isolating and so far pretty symptom-free.
I wouldn't have joked if he was. He said he was doing well, so
yeah,
I joke
yeah.
about it.
It's only like 750 mile drive if you need to get there, Pete. If you need to be
okay,
be around him. So like 11 and a half hour drive, nice, easy. Go through the garden spots of Rochester, Buffalo, and along Lake Erie.
I get takeout at Dinosaur Barbecue in Syracuse. You know,
there you go.
So I may leave now.
Faster, I mean, I think probably to cut through. Probably faster to cut through to Canada, but you can't. They shut us
no,
out.
No, you can't. We're not welcome.
Canada
there.
Won't let us in.
Nope.
That has been like a sobering part as American to see all these other countries. Like, the Bahamas isn't letting us in now. You know, like Canada doesn't want our baseball teams. We are a national mockery.
As I've said many times, mockery. I love this country. Yeah. Wouldn't want to live anywhere else. But if I was another country, I wouldn't let any of us in anywhere. I would be like, hell no. These people are a bunch of lunatics.
They think we're all in the Lake of the Ozarks in like Estonia right now.
We are. I mean, that's what I like about it. Screw you, Canada.
Somebody, I think it was somebody from maybe it was Britain or something said that that Europe is watching Americans the way Americans were watching Tiger King. Like, whoa, these people are really weird. Look at this mess.
I'd like to defend
our country a little more, but you know,
if it wasn't for the 100,000 dead, it's a gloriously wonderful thing. It's like shining the light and all the roaches are scattered. Like, this is it. I don't want to see any of these political campaigns this year with like the wheat fields and we're the greatest people on. Come on. We are who we are, baby.
Yeah, the problem is the roaches aren't scattering, Dan. They're gathering.
Yeah, right, that's true. They won't. Yeah, they won't. Even the roaches social distance. No, we are like a doped up drug fiends mess. It's just a disaster. We worship our king, Kanye. So here we are in the middle of summer, and it's a little slow. We're not going to lie. And then in glorious fashion, two of our greatest entities come together to give us comedic gold. NCAA administrators and United States senators. I mean, this is a bipartisan matchup of who can grandstand, misinform, miss the point, lie, take themselves too seriously. What a loathsome group. It's like one grenade, man, one grenade. I don't know what this was other than political theater of some sort where they all congratulate each other on doing a good job. But Mark Emmert and a couple other poobahs went to Washington and sat before some kind of subcommittee. And assuredly nothing got done. I think they were trying to find out what the NCAA was planning for name, image, and likeness, which of course is nothing. And the senators, you know, who are always so quick to pounce on, they never kick anything down the road. They're always responsive to the issues of the day. We're aghast that nothing was going on. But we have some just tremendous clips, and Sully's done some good work for us here. Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina. This is not a campaign endorsement or not endorsement. You can vote for him if you want or don't. Don't care. I don't know how you can be a U.S. senator in an SEC state, however, and come up with some of these lines. It's probably better that he's focused on other things, or maybe it isn't. Maybe we really just want him focused on college football. I don't know. But let us play some of these clips. Senator Graham is concerned that the name, image, and likeness will just throw chaos, I tell you, into college football. This pure as the driven snow, little entity of extracurricular activity at our fine colleges and universities.
So what I worry about, Mr. Radakovich, if we don't do something and 50 states go off on their own way of doing business, you can have alumni or people associated with the school engaging in bidding wars in terms of, if you'll come to this school, I'll give you $5 million to sell cars for me. Is that a problem?
Yeah. So I think $5 million seems a little, maybe he is from the SEC.
Jadeveon Clowney would have been worth it, right?
$5 million.
Actually, how good was it with Jadeveon Clowney? You know?
Yeah.
I don't give Jadeveon $500,000.
That maybe he knows what he's talking about after all with that $5 million. But yes, Senator, we would not want bidding wars from alumni or people associated with the school trying to pay people to come to their school and play for their team. Emmert should have just come back and said, yeah, I agree. We should, you know, I'm really concerned that someone might donate to a campaign and get favorable treatment from a politician. We know that would be a real concern. I mean, how do you say that with a straight face?
Lindsey Graham is a double South Carolina graduate, undergrad and law school. University of South Carolina currently under NCAA investigation for paying a basketball player, PJ Dozier, who was on their Final Four team. And they probably weren't paying him because nobody else was paying him. I bet they were paying him because everybody else was trying to pay him. So there's your bidding war, Senator.
If nothing else, he should be like, South Carolina, Clemson's buying all the recruits. This isn't fair. That's a double. Every double Gamecock I know is complaining about Clemson cheating and saying, We should have had Zion Williamson, but Coach K paid him. Like, you're not doing this right, Lindsay.
We needed Brian Bowen Sr. to just like charge in like the Kool-Aid man to the congressional hearing and be like, oh yeah, no bidding war. Yeah. There was what, a 2-year-long federal, well, shoot, 4-year-long federal investigation trial. It's still going on under appeal for this very same thing involving, of course, his very school that he graduated from.
I live in South Carolina. I live 5 miles from Clemson. I went to the University of South Carolina. People are nuts about this stuff. And you're going to unleash holy hell on young college athletes and the system if you don't have some way to control people willing to buy a player to come to a school.
Holy hell? like giving them money. Is that holy hell?
What a terrible thing.
Them. Giving them cars. The chaos. The chaos. What will happen to the marketing budget when the money from the car dealership goes directly to the athlete and not funneled through the 32nd associate athletic director? God. Just anarchy. Anarchy, Lindsay. Anarchy.
Holy hell is coming to the recruits of America by getting paid legally, finally.
Yeah, right. Right. Without having to hide it with your godfather. But it's fantastic. What a term there for that. Holy hell.
All right, next one. There's more Lindsey Graham ones on his fear of rabid alumni. Rabid. They are rabid. Throwing money.
Foaming at the mouth.
Foaming at the mouth to give them money so their team will win. At least he does recognize there are rabid. I don't know. There's a disconnect with his thinking. But anyway, he starts grilling Mark Emery. So this is great. I mean, this is a meeting of the minds. Emerit is claiming that if no one's ever gotten their scholarship or something like it, you can't get your scholarship revoked if you get injured. Ramogi Huma, who runs the National Collegiate, like NCPA, I think it's called, and Players Association. It's not a real union, but it's an advocacy group, former UCLA player. He practically falls out of his chair and says it absolutely is. And then here's Emerit trying to answer.
First of all, Senator, thank you for the question. It's an important one. And yes, there is. A scholarship cannot be revoked for reasons of an injury. The school certainly could make that assertion, but I have never seen that example in my
life. So no one has ever lost their scholarship because they injured. No, they lost it because they suck now because they're injured. Or, you know, it's like the... You know, be ashamed if we found that six pack in your dorm, son. Violation of team rules, all of a sudden. Yeah, that the tutors stopped doing the work. I don't know how Mark Emmert says that. Man's been around. He's the literal president of the NCAA. He's never heard of this.
He might need to get out of Indianapolis a little more. Go where the actual, where the universities are and listen in. I am pretty sure we have all heard from, talked to, heard stories about, a lot of players who have gotten scholarships pulled for injuries or for sucking, for not being good enough. Sometimes both related. But shoot, I remember when I was in school at Missouri, stories about the offensive line coach walking by the training room, looking at his injured lineman and basically mimicking a hypodermic needle. Like, you need to shoot up and get back in there or you're out. And that was in the 1980s when the money wasn't as big as it is now. I bet that might still transpire.
Did this whole thing in Congress on Wednesday, guys, to you seem like a little bit of Mark Emmert's last stand? Like, he has botched the name, image, and likeness part of this just about as epically as you can botch anything. Now, his tenure has mostly been like a nap of apathy. Like, he really just hasn't done much. Like, no one can name like the best thing Mark Emmert has done as NCAA president. But this was one thing he could actually control and shape. And now he has every state legislator, every congressman basically posterizing him and basically like mocking him and using him for political gain. Like, the one thing he could have controlled, they could have put together a decent name, image, and likeness plan and beaten all these state legislatures to it. And they just didn't. They failed. They went to Congress to basically, they want some type of antitrust exemption. Congress seems very skeptical to give it. But they've had years to do this. Years to do this. When was it, Pat? Everyone went to Indy and they said, maybe someday soon we'll come up with a plan. Was that more than a year ago?
Oh boy. I'm trying to remember. Yeah, that was spring 2019, and then spring 2020 they came out with, we're going to do it, but we have no idea how. And that's when they then turned to Congress. And that's Pete, right along the lines of what you're saying there, this is basically like the NCAA is the person looking for a handout, looking for help, that knows that they've got to go in front of this governing body and just be slapped around and humiliated, but maybe we can get what we want on the way out. Yeah, you know, we'll just go in there and we'll take it. You can point out how bad we are. You can insult us. You can mock us. You can say, why do you do this? Why don't you do that? Just give us our legislation and give us our antitrust exemption. We'll put up with all the beating and all the abuse as long as we get what we want.
I mean, these guys fought a stipend. They fought everything, every minute of the day. The stipend was this unbelievable thing that was going to ruin college athletics. And you remember, like, the cost of living at USC is higher, therefore, than it is in Ames, Iowa. So USC's got an advantage because kids are getting $63 more a month. I mean, they fought a stipend, which they used to give. They used to give the stipend back in the 60s and 70s. They got rid of it and then claimed that college football and college athletics would be ruined. They fought everything, and that's how you get dragged to Capitol Hill begging for this. If you want to know why Mark Emmert makes so much money, this is it. He is paid to walk up there like a pinata and get his ass kicked, get humiliated, because there's a bunch of university presidents sitting on that board of directors saying, I don't want me. I'm not going in that chair. And there's a bunch of conference commissioners saying, I don't want to sit in that chair. So we'll pay you $2 million a year or however much he's making to be the guy that gets killed on these things.
Yeah.
And it's like, everybody toss in. We got 300 schools around here. Everyone throw in, you know, whatever that comes out to. And Emmer takes the ass kicking up on Capitol Hill. He's got to listen to Lindsey Graham, who doesn't know that boosters are buying players now, grandstand him. Yeah. And Ramogi Huma is not someone you want yelling at you. He's really smart and relentless. And just, I mean, it's like, oh, man, not that. I don't want to get in the debate with that guy. So this is why he makes his money. But, I mean, this thing is a disaster. We need come on. And then, speaking of money, this is one of the better ones. Back to Senator Graham. It's kind of Senator Graham's greatest hits. They were really, the other senators weren't any better. So it's, you know, I'm sorry we're all picking on you, Senator Graham. This is what you get when you keep claiming Donald Trump shoots like a 68 when he's like 80 years old. I want Lindsey Graham to scorecard my golf game. I think that would be really helpful for my ego. All right, play this one, because he seems to have been consulting Senator Charlie Weiss on this. I don't know what he's doing with this quote.
Dabo and Saban get a lot of money because they produce results. Very few coaches get paid a lot of money that lose over time. But unproven recruits, people who really are great in high school, never played a down in college sports. I don't know what they're... There are a lot of people that would just pay a bunch of money. And that's what I worry about, ruining the sport, that we get in a bidding war for that high-value recruit.
So he's worried about the unproven player getting paid because we never have unproven coaches. Actually, proven losers get paid.
When that quote came out, Twitter, like, erupted with pictures of Charlie Weiss. Like, immediately. there was 18 pictures of Charlie Weiss, who made $40 gazillion from Notre Dame and then failed and got fired and then got hired at Kansas and made a ton of money while making that program somehow worse than it had been.
Weiss, why does he look at Will Muschamp? How many times has that guy failed forward?
I just looked up all his money. He's making $4.4 million and he got paid $6.3 million to go away at Florida. I'm not sure if that was mitigated or not. But like Lindsey Graham, the senator from South Carolina who went to South Carolina twice, has no idea what's even going on in South Carolina.
I mean, like, the example,
you have to. And what's up with these Florida coaches? Ron Zook did a horrible job. He got another job, although he actually did okay at Illinois. But like, if you screw up Florida, you're bad.
Yeah, you are bad.
Yeah. Jim McElwain got a nice little parting gift.
Yeah, yeah. It's and Florida, right? It's like Texas. Like, there's certain schools you can't be that bad at.
Yeah.
You just can't be that bad. It's Florida.
Well, he did hire Charlie Weiss as his offensive coordinator when he got there.
That's true. Muschamp and Weiss were partners. I think Charlie Weiss was trending on Twitter, which just is a riot because I'm like, if, I don't know if Charlie Weiss is on Twitter, but you just kind of log on and out of the blue, you're trending. Like, what did I do?
Yeah.
Anyway, we need more Capitol Hill. So I hope if we don't have a season, we need like weekly appearances.
Yeah, instead of Thursday night football for college, maybe we just get C-SPAN to run Mark Emmert in there every week and take a few punches.
If Senator Graham can do that, I may donate to his campaign. That I might all of a sudden have an interest.
Yeah,
you gotta like it.
Cory Booker got Emmert worse.
Yeah. Blow hard Thursday on C-SPAN, you know, and then you got your NCAA guys on one side and your senators on the other. I love it.
And we could build the game day set in the corner.
Who needs Maction?
It's Herb Street and Coach Corso and put the hat. Who's gonna get it worst? You know, he'll put a helmet on.
Yeah.
Or one of those.
There's an
Cory
idea.
Cory Booker's gonna grill him this week.
Yeah. Cory Booker got Emmert pretty good yesterday.
Oh
yeah.
Cory Booker got in him.
There are things that you have said yourself that need to be changed upwards of 6 years ago that still have not changed. There are things we know about this sport and its dangers that you all have, as you said, researched, but nothing has changed.
Former D1 football player.
Yeah.
Well, I guess he was an All-American, too, although he was trying to be modest and claiming he wasn't a very good All-American. But
how does that work? All right. As you know, we've been discussing the fate of gentlemen's clubs during the COVID, during the pandemic here. Many, many stories, lawsuits, everything going on.
Multi-billion-dollar industry. The people need to know the fate of it.
Multi-billion-dollar. They opened them up again here in Michigan, and lo and behold, there was an outbreak.
Imagine.
Shocking.
I'm like, really, guys? Really? You're really going in there? All right. Anyway, the great minds down in Houston, Texas, which I think would be considered one of America's great gentleman club cities. Don't know if that's on the Chamber of Commerce.
Houston and
brochure.
Tampa would be in the Final Four every year.
Yeah. One of its most avid gentlemen clubs.
Vegas is your number one seed, but certainly Houston's right there.
Yeah. This is like 80s basketball. Vegas, Houston, college basketball.
Guy Lewis and Tark working the door.
It really is. Memphis State, right? You got to have them in there. Right.
Memphis. Oh, good call.
Yeah. Yeah. It really would be good. Good stuff. A drive-through strip club has opened in Houston, and HoustonChronicle.com is all over this one. The Vivid Gentlemen's Club at 2618 Windrock Boulevard. I mean, this thing is unbelievable. This picture is unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's basically a big tent, and are you looking at this picture? This car, look at the hubcaps on the car that went through. Like, if you see that car with those hubcaps, you're like, that guy's going to the drive-through gentleman's club. Absolutely. They call it a Burger King with dancing involved. I guess you can actually get food.
That's probably what they needed to get it open, right?
Yeah.
They
you can buy a
game yeah, a little bit. Right? Yeah.
You can
right?
buy a burger and then drive through and get a little show. The performer is wearing a mask. I don't know what is happening here. There seems to be a DJ.
Yeah, the pictures, you have a performer looking at the camera, another performer definitely not looking at the camera, and then a DJ in a mask, and then I'm not sure what's happening down at the other end.
You know they're going to give the Pulitzer Prize for best photo to like some beleaguered, like first responder nurse or some incredible snapshot from the Minneapolis protest with like fire in the back and like a cop and a little girl handing flowers to each other. Something. Hell no. This is the damn picture. Brandon Clements. There is dollar bills on the floor. Someone throwing dollar bills out the window. Apparently.
How else are you going to get them to him?
And then there's all the people, all these guys that live near 2618 Win Rock Boulevard in Houston. They're like, we need more milk tonight. We had cereal for the kids. I'll run out. Let me get to the 7-Eleven. Don't worry about it, honey. I'll get it.
Yeah. I'll be back in an hour and a half with the milk. Yeah.
Jeez, Larry, you're so helpful lately. How come it took so long? There was a social distance line. I didn't want to go in until everyone was clear. I was trying to be.
I think what you need in this instance, if you're driving by, you need Snoop's money cannon that he had at the Midnight Madness, you know, for Kansas.
There you go.
Firing the bills out of that thing at him. That's a different drive-by shooting. Better.
Absolutely one of the all-time greatest photos I've ever seen. There's balloons. Like, I like how they try to jazz it up with some balloons and the lights.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my God. This is the...
Do you think anybody driving
like an
through?
Awkward gate. Yeah. It's almost... It has like a zoo feel because there's just a gate in front of the performers.
A little fencing. But yeah, I wonder how many drive-through customers are like, oh, nice balloons. That really looks good.
Yeah, that really sells it.
The menu, nachos, burgers, chicken sandwich, jalapeno poppers, of course. There is a, quote, authentic Italian pizza that claims to be handmade in Italy. I'm not sure how that works. You can buy a six-pack of beer and an entire bottle of Fireball. I mean, there's a lot going on here.
Oh, my.
Once inside the tent, every car is a two-song limit. So while your food is coming, so you can't traffic jam. I mean, that would be the problem. Some guy's just sitting up there.
Yeah.
Sitting in park
for like 2 hours. Like, there's not a champagne room here, buddy. This is the drive-thru. We racked the numbers and thought, should we do it? And realized if we do it, we're doing it for the entertainers, the staff and the employees, explains the manager. I mean, that's good. He's really, it's about helping out the others. Because to keep us open, we can't just do the numbers. I guess the original...
Servant leadership.
Idea came from the Lucky Devil Lounge in Portland, Oregon. So, but I think Houston just did it better. We're trying to adapt with the times and whatever cards were being dealt. All right. There you go.
If it's a Prius rolling through in Portland, it's not the same as the the dude in the spinners. Yes.
All right. Talking about looking for love, I guess. This is according to wildlifepark.com out of Australia. Sully was really in the corners of the internet looking for stuff here. Patrick, the oldest common wombat in captivity. You guys know Patrick? He's turning 30 this year.
30?
He is a bachelor, though. And Patrick has made a number of attempts at finding his leading lady over the years. But wildlife officer said he was just too much of a snaw. This is the SNAW, a sensitive new-aged wombat for his own good. According to
new-aged wombat.
Is he a millennial?
Yeah, he's like a millennial, 30 years old, millennial.
30?
Huh? Yeah, I guess Patrick, quote, this is the park owner here in Australia. The male wombat has to be very aggressive towards the female, and Patrick just isn't a very aggressive wombat. So he chooses to be single. He's a sensitive wombat. So he's, I guess, the 30-year-old wombat virgin. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if like the other female wombats are eyeing him. Oh, he's a good guy. You know, it's kind of quiet. Maybe he's a good listener. I don't know. Good
listener. Oh, my.
Anyway. in an effort to spur some action, I guess, this Julia Leonard, the park owner, is really working, much like the gentleman club owner. He's doing it. She's doing this for the wombat. Set up a Tinder account for him.
Account for a wombat. Wait a minute. Back up. Account for a wombat.
Is this legal?
How does that work?
I don't know. Can you swipe with those paws they got? Like,
do you own a phone? Can you read? Can you swipe with a paw? Among the potential complications here.
I guarantee that wombat gets swiped right all the time. People are just like, Yeah, maybe it's good listening, but I
think that bestiality is not. I don't know what the rules are in Australia, but
I'm not going
maybe
there.
They just want to hang out with him. He's good for cuddles. Like I said,
these things are big. Did you know that wombats? They are not small.
I'm looking at this picture. Like, yeah,
44 to 77 pounds.
So, I knew nothing about wombats.
That's a lot of furry mammal or marsupial or yeah, marsupial, I guess, right? So
he's called the Womb Bachelor. So nobody, he has not made a connection on Twitter on Tinder yet, but he does have 30,000 followers on Facebook. And they're gonna throw a party for him where he's gonna get extra carrots and grass, and they're hoping it's gonna be a birthday bash, his 30th birthday, for the bucktooth marsupial and any quote potential Tinderellas that want to get with them. So if you're a female wombat out there listening to the pod, I know we're very popular in that community.
Certainly.
Get your Tinder on and get over there and try to find Patrick. Seems like a nice guy.
Good listener. As you said.
Looks very handsome as wombats go.
That's one of the best lines in our pod's rich history. The wombat is a good listener.
They make a lot of noise. His name's Pat 30.
I don't know.
See, they're trying to make him cool. They went with the shortened name on this Tinder profile. Pat. All right. Well, there you go. That's our pod. Well, we're down to Australian wombats. We're clearly out of stuff. Next week, big week. Don't miss it. Find out whether we're going to have a season or not. Kind of, maybe.
Maybe.
We will talk to you then. Please subscribe. Leave us a nice message. Share us on social media. Tell your friends about us. We're out here. We are out here digging deep. For your entertainment. We are trying, man.
Sully's got a spelunking hat going through the corners of the internet to find the wombats on Twitter.
This podcast may or may not be that good. But we are trying. You cannot deny. We're still knocking out two a week here. We're staring into the abyss. All right. Talk to you later.
I'm Michael Isikoff, Chief Investigative Correspondent for Yahoo News.
And I'm Dan Clydman, Editor-in-Chief of Yahoo News.
We're the hosts of Skullduggery, a podcast that not only breaks down the news, but also breaks news.
We deliver authoritative analysis while drawing intriguing historical parallels from our decades of covering DC scandals.
With our current focus on the president and his administration's handling of the coronavirus, to the 2020 elections, we interview those helping to shape the stories.
So subscribe to and download Skullduggery wherever you listen to your podcasts, and be sure to follow us on social media at Skullduggery Pod.